At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make some noise. It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome in everybody to another Making Monsters. We're kind of now in full swing. It's football. Football's back and camp has been back. Texans and Bears both have been in camp for a bit now. So we've got to see a little bit more than some of the other teams around the league, but I'm going to do a little bit of pregame. It's a little bit different pregame, and I'm joined by Cole Thompson today. He obviously covers the Houston Texans for the Texans Wire, managing editor for the Texans Wire. So you're very close to that. Also host of SEC Unfiltered. So a whole lot of knowledge when it comes to these young guys that we will be seeing, because it sounds like nobody else is going to be playing. But Cole, thanks for hopping on with me.
Yeah, Taylor, thanks so much for having me. It's the Hall of Fame is one of those moments where it's like you're excited because the football's back on your screen, but also it's like, I don't know half of these players if they're even going to be here in 2 weeks. But sure, you know what? At least they get to wear the jersey one time and act like that they're professional. Like, so it's like a middle ground.
Yeah. And that's what I think for it. The good part is that I think both of the rosters are to a place where we aren't hoping that we need some of these guys. There's been previous rosters where the Bears, there were guys that would have been playing in this game that we were like, we may need you because nobody else is on this roster. But right now they're built up. The Texans and the Bears have done a really good job of building their both offenses and defenses the last couple years. But let's talk with the Hall of Fame part, because that's the big thing here. It's Hall of Fame weekend. Houston Texans get their first enshrinement into the Hall of Fame with Andre Johnson. So that obviously has to be fantastic feeling around there.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the way that people have just been talking about it and the way that they travel to this event, I texted a couple of my friends that are used to working in the industry, now are just all fan base, loving to be in an actual, just not having to have any relationship. They started driving on Monday. Like, so they have started making a full trip of this thing. They're going to be up there. They're watching the game. They're stopping at bars across the way. They're dropping off Andre Johnson memorabilia. They're like, come on, let's go party. And I think what's really great is that, like, he is the first to get in because of, you talk to people around the league, just how they view Andre Johnson is, why did it take this long to get in the Hall? Like 14 years in the NFL, he's an all-time top 10 in receiving yards, receptions, yards after play. He leads he still has every single record for the team in receiving. And also, you know, there's everyone in the league has been like, no, this is a dude. Like, this is, it's not the Courtland Finnegan beating the crap out of him type of stuff. It is the straight up, he would beat us in practice, very low, slow to the ground. You know, not a big talker, lets his game do most of the heavy lifting. And what I loved about him is that it took forever to get in, but I'm glad that he is the first representative, because we all know that JJ Watt's going to get in. Like, that's not a horrible thing to say. Like, everyone knows it's going to happen, but the first Texan that many people remember was number 80. And so it only feels like it's an honor that he is the first Texan in Canton, Ohio. So it's an overall great weekend feel. There's going to be a lot of Texans fans there, not just for the game, but for the fact that they remember the early days of the Johnson era. And I think it's also just kind of a testament to him, because of this was not only the first major star for the team, but he had opportunity after opportunity to leave, go chase a ring. But he wanted to do it with the organization that took a shot at him at number 3 overall. And it was a great moment for him to be able to be in Florida, be welcomed in by another Hall of Famer in Chris Carter. And you see the emotions just all kind of cascade over him when after so long of knowing he was worthy of the spot, he finally gets to be in there.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that's one of the things that popped out to me, Cole, is 12 seasons he spent in with the Texans. And you just don't see that often anymore. I think so many players now, it's 5-6 years and then they're heading somewhere else, or the careers kind of get shortened in certain circumstances. So for someone like that, who you see spend 12 seasons and then he went a little bit around the AFC South for a couple seasons, but the most of his career is there with the Texans. And then also, I mean, you talk about out of those 12 seasons, seven of them, he surpassed 1,000 yards, and then several of those 1,000-yard seasons were in the 1400s, 1500s. It's just, you don't see that often. When you do, somebody like that definitely deserves to be in there.
And you don't see it from a 33-year-old. Like, that's the other part that's really impressive, was he was getting up there in age and still it didn't look like it. Like, he was running routes as pristine as possible. The physicalness of his game, I mean, everyone talks about him, what he did against Cortland Finnegan, but like, he was doing that in practice. Like, you talk to people, they were forcing him to have to kind of slow down and just take a breather, because if he didn't, I mean, he was going to kill players in practice. Like, that was his attitude. He wanted to be that guy. And so I think that that's the big testament, is that his body never aged. When he did kind of have that decline, when he went to Indianapolis and then Tennessee, the decline was rapid. I mean, it was almost like as if he got all the Infinity Stones that he had when he was in Houston sucked out of the hand and then goes elsewhere. It's like, that's how things happen. But at the same time, to have that type of career trajectory and with really no quarterbacks at the very beginning of his tenure, and then also at the very end when there was a lot of misconstruedness when Matt Schaub was starting to take a step back, still be that dude. I mean, everyone talks about what DeAndre Hopkins had to go through before the pre-Deshaun Watson era. Andre Johnson was the actual pinnacle of that type of method before we ever got to the DeAndre Hopkins era.
Yeah. And it's incredible. I'm excited because I know when it comes to the first time Hall of Famer, that first enshrinement, like you said, I think is the perfect person to kind of represent that organization as being that first one. And yes, we're going to see JJ Watt, as we should. But when we take a glance at some of the other guys, that obviously the reason we're doing this game, the Bears versus the Texans, Devin Hester was growing up one of my favorite players of all time. I've been waiting the last few years for him to get in, and I get it, some arguments, so he only did special teams, but my thing, Cole, is just that, especially now, like, what an ironic year to do it when the kickoff is literally changing this season and we will never see anything like Devin Hester ever again, because that part of the game doesn't even exist anymore.
So, like, for me, my dad grew up a huge Bears fan. I have all my family from Indiana. Go Brickies. You and I both know that one. So, but, like, I grew up loving Devin Hester. That was, like, one of the very first players that I actually remember wearing 23 and just being that badass. And, like, what's going to be so funny is, like, you see those memes all the time of, like, the Vince McMahon, or, like, the cutout, like crap. That would be me when my kid goes and asks me eventually, hey, Dad, who was Devin Hester?
Yeah, you can't.
He was special. He was special. Like, that's me for him, because he transcended the sport to a new level, to where there are players who still to this day will say, I thank Devin Hester for not being a guy that was a wide receiver or a cornerback, but being a return man. Because if I have a roster spot, not because of what I do as a wide receiver or what I do as a safety or what I do as a corner, I have a spot because of, I literally am told, you're going to kick return balls and you're going to run it back and you're going to try and score 6 points for us.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like, there is a legit position every single year where there is a player who will never, like, Kevondre Turpin right now in Dallas has got to be like, Devin Hester is the goat of all goats in any single sport, because of, I should not be in the NFL. Like, literally, that's his role.
And even, like, when you see the way the players talk about Devin too, and Jamal Agnew, I had posted a video of Devin Hester. It was like kind of a collage of all his returns. And Jamal Agnew was just like, there's never going to be another Devin Hester. It's just not going to happen. And the way the game is changing too, obviously it's not going to happen in that way too. But someone posted on Twitter one day, like, post one sports picture that, like, breaks your heart. And my brain, I immediately thought of like 100, because I'm a Chicago fan, but I was like, I have plenty. But the few that came, it was like the Derrick Rose ACL in the playoffs. That one came to heart. The Cody Parkey doink, that one came to heart. But the picture of Devin Hester after the Super Bowl like down on one knee, confetti everywhere. And you could just like sense in that picture, his heart was broken, especially the way that game started. So that's just some of those moments of like, he had so much heart and loved the game so much. And I'm excited to see him be a part of it. Obviously pretty much complete opposite of Houston Texans, because I think the Bears have the most Hall of Fame players in the Hall of Fame. So it's very two different teams when it comes to historically in the NFL that are playing this week also.
I don't mean to be rude, because I know it's going to be even more heartbreaking, but I just thought of this, and it's probably the worst moment of all, when you watch him cross into the end zone, and that's the moment where you realize, oh no, this sprint all goes downhill. That was that was the one moment of joy I had in 2006. this is the end, because now we got Peyton. That has got to be one of the most heartbreaking photos, is him crossing the end zone, because that is all you get.
Yeah, they're like, here, we'll give you this, but that's all the happiness you'll get for a long time. So obviously, Steve McMichael, too, another one of the former Bears getting inducted in. Incredible. I mean, Steve, the story with him also, and right now he's battling ALS, which a lot of people have just been like hoping he makes it to this Thursday, because he's been in and out of the hospital all year. And so I am just, there's a couple days left, but to watch Mongo be able to get that gold jacket and this time of life. And again, I think he's another one that it took a long time for him to get there. But when you go back and look at what a big part of that Bears defense was around in obviously the 85 Bears, but he holds a ton of records, and he's just behind Richard Dent when it comes to a lot of the numbers when it comes to tackles and all of that stuff. And when you think of legendary guys like that, Richard Dent and Steve McMichael should be in that conversation. So it's really exciting for Bears fans, Cole, because I think these are two players that the organization as a whole have been waiting to see get honored. But I want to talk about the game a little bit. We both, the Bears announced today, no starters are playing. We kind of expected that. I was hearing a little bit of rumors that maybe Caleb would play like one snap. That's not happening. He said today, no starters. So like you said, it's kind of a part of the game. So instead of kind of going into this game, I want to talk about the two rosters a little bit. Houston, as I mentioned, what they've done the last few seasons has been phenomenal. The turnaround that they've had, and obviously looks like they nailed it with CJ Stroud. Covering the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's not as much fun to say, but let's talk about some of the moves they made this offseason, because when you talk about, especially defensively, when you talk about a Danielle Hunter, when you talk about a Danico Autry, which unfortunately there's a
suspension. We don't want to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that right now.
Foley Fatukasi, who obviously was here in Jacksonville too, had definitely some moments here. Will Anderson on the other side now, who has really started to even take a bigger grasp of what the NFL and that speed is, and he came on strong right away. What's this defense going to look like this season?
It's so interesting, Taylor, because if it's kind of like a Frankenstein monster where you still have no idea where the pieces are coming from, but eventually, you know, just like he terrorized Transylvania, they'll probably do the same thing against AFC opponents. Like that's kind of where we are. They have a young cornerback in Kamari Laster that, if you talk to anybody, has already said this is one of the most proven products that we have seen come out of college in a hot minute. And I remember being back in Indianapolis, meeting with some scouts and talking to some people at the combine. And I always ask the one random question, just whenever I get an opportunity, who is like one player that you just don't want to see be paired up with a coach? And it doesn't have to be the Texans. It just could be in general. And every single scout said, yeah, don't let Kamari Laster go to Houston. Do not give him to D'Amico Ryans. And again, the second he got drafted, that I immediately thought went back to Indianapolis inside that bar. I was like, oh, they are pissed right now, because he's been great. He's physical. He's absolutely got great footwork. The thing that they love about him is how he's able to stay low with the center of gravity and come out of breaks. He's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with Stephon Diggs, with Nico Collins, with Tank Dell. He's got the fluidity to keep up with a guy like Tank Dell, who's really well known for his speed. You also have Jalen Petrie, who they're probably going to move him closer to the line of scrimmage this year, which is probably a really good thing, because if you look at his numbers back when he was at Baylor, he won the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in the star position. And the star for Dave Aranda is kind of a hybrid of safety and linebacker. It's a very big dollar nickel versus than what you would see in the normal packages with a smaller, shiftier guy. But his footwork has been impeccable when it comes to going up against slot receivers. He's played physical whenever having to line up against tight ends, whether it be Brevin Jordan, whether it be Dalton Schultz, whether it be even Cade Stover, the Ohio State product. So there's a lot to like about what he brings. The question now is, what do you do at safety? Because when you move him down, you're leaving someone susceptible. And I think Kalen Bullock, the USC safety, is an incredible center fielder type, kind of like Marcus Williams when he was coming out of Utah. But the thing with him is just, number one, he is such a hit and miss when it comes to tackling. And for a defense that cannot afford to give up explosive plays like they did last year, that's a liability right now. And then number two, do you feel like that he's ever going to be able to put on a bit more weight? Because, you know, as wonderful as California is for scenic location, we all know that they just love their salads and Nikoi tofu meals. So he's going to eat a lot of barbecue down here, which is a good thing. But
yeah,
at the same time, they have to figure out what they're going to do with that safety spot. Yeah. I think the other part that's really important is that they do get linebacker help with Azeez Al-Shaair. That's a guy that has great relationship with D'Amico Ryans. Everybody in the room has said they've had a moment with him where if he's just been where they've had a bad rep, the first person to greet him is number zero, saying, "Hey, stop effing pouting, get out of your own way, go ahead and get right back in the huddle." He has this no nonsense type of mentality, which I think is good for a front seven that had 46 sacks last year, which is a good number, but it's not an elite number. And then, of course, you bring up Danielle Hunter. I mean, Bears fans know what he's capable of. Bears fans know if you do not have a great offensive tackle, you're out of luck. Like, this man is going to pulverize you, and he's done that. I mean, Laramie Tunsil's been out of practice the entire start of training camp. That was kind of expected because he went and got an endoscopic knee surgery this offseason just to be able to keep him up a little bit. So Hunter's been going up against a rookie in Blake Fisher, and Blake Fisher has gotten the rookie treatment. You are not good in the NFL. Get ready to learn really fast that how big these defensive linemen are. And so when you add that with Will Anderson, who, when I talked to scouts last year, they said that he could play as a 4-3 defensive end. It just would take time. But the part that they really liked about him by the season's end was that he was still learning how to play the position, but he mastered the basics. So now he's going to master what the position was. And he won Defensive Rookie of the Year when mastering the basics. He's got a full offseason to learn how to play. He's worked with Myles Garrett. He's worked with Von Miller. He's worked with TJ Watt. He's worked with Daniil this offseason. So he's also gained 15 pounds of muscle, which, like, it doesn't seem like it's that big, but it's a big difference when you're playing from outside linebacker in a 3-4 to a 4-3. Yeah. And he said that the biggest reason was he got tired of being bullied by the Baltimore Ravens in that AFC divisional round game. So he's not going to be bullied that much. So again, there's a lot of missing pieces right now, but that's kind of the beauty of what the preseason is. You get to find out where those holes are to address it.
Yeah.
If they can just get consistent play from the defensive line, and I mean really the defensive tackle spot, this is probably a top 10 unit in the NFL. Like, as much as we want to talk about what this offense can be, it's kind of like, this is what we should be talking about, what this defense will be, because they're almost at that point to where you say, the flaws are so minor that the biggest thing that's going to hurt them is injury.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. What? So Danico Autry, obviously 6-game suspension, it looks like for him, that is a major hit. The one thing about D'Amico Ryan's definitely searched the AFC South opponents and figured out who he liked out of them. But good for him for being able to snag some of these guys, because both Autry, Foley Fadakasi, Azeez Al-Shaair all came from within division. So he was obviously seeing things he liked opponent wise. Who is right now in this short period of time since it happened? Is Mario Edwards the one that's playing behind Autry? Okay.
Yeah, so Mario's going to step up. Surprisingly, he was listed as just a defensive lineman up until yesterday. And then yesterday you get the roster sheet. You're like, hey, why is he listed as a defense? Oh, no. Like, so it was so funny because, like, and I tell this story because of I should have just texted my source when I found this out. So when they traded for Joe Mixon, they had to go ahead and sign off all the paperwork because they did the interview for him and Danielle Hunter at the same time. They're like, oh, they're signing contracts. And like the PR staff just like walks away nonchalantly. And I'm like, why does Joe Mixon, if they traded for him, sign a contract? Oh no, he's getting an extension. Like that should have been my brain yesterday with Mario Edwards when it's like, oh, defensive tackle. Oh crap, somebody got cut.
Something happened.
Somebody's been suspended. So, but you look at where Edwards is, he a few times last season, and I think even a little bit with the Bears, on passing downs, they shifted him inside a defensive tackle just to give that extra bull rush. That's kind of the way they plan on using D'Amico Autry, where Foley Fadakasi was going to stay in as the three tech. They were going to rotate who was going to be the other guy. Was it going to be Edwards? Was it going to be Tim Settle? But when Autry was going to be on a passing down, he was going to be on the inside shift. So I think that Edwards right now has the inside track to do that. I think a guy that maybe underratedly could do it, because if they tried it last year and it didn't work according to plan, but it was good enough, was Derek Barnett, the former first-round pick out of Philadelphia. He did play a little bit as a three-tech when they had three pass rushers, so it wouldn't shock me if maybe you see him play that role, but he did lose a little bit of weight this offseason, so Edwards feels like the guy right now, but they're going to have to find a way to be able to get that interior pass rush out.
Yeah, which the Bears are in the exact same boat. Well, pass rush in general with the Bears is a big question, Cole, because Montez Sweat is obviously a monster. But outside of that, it's a lot of question marks with DeMarcus Walker. And then they drafted Austin Booker in the first round. So big question marks there. I think Andrew Billings is fantastic on the inside. He's one of the more underrated guys when it comes to the defensive tackle position. Javon Dexter absolutely shined at the end of the season last year. And he's really taking over like full on that three tech role this year. So
he's balled out in training camp from what I've seen.
Yeah. I was a big fan of when, like, during the draft process, I was like, I like Javon Dexter. I don't know how much he fits in what the Bears need, but they're making it work. So we will see. But same interior pass rush and pass rush in general for the Bears is a big question. And so they, you know, a guy like Zach Pickens, who went to South Carolina, didn't see much of the field last year at all. And looks like he may have a little bit of a bigger role this season. So those are, I guess, some of the things that we can look forward to in this game. Like you said, more so the depth pieces when it comes to that defensive line and what it looks like without some of these main names that you have. Because when you look at, to me, when I'm looking at the Texans defensive line, the starters, it's good. I look at a line that I think is productive. You know, at the Bears, I think probably people look at that and don't know the four of the five names that are on that. So it is a little bit different there. I do want to talk about the offense though, because the Texans offense, I think, is, people here in Jacksonville hate me for the love fest that I have for Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, but I can't help it. Like, I truly cannot. I'm like, I like Stephon Diggs. I know people talk about his diva-ish that happens. What I keep telling people is that doesn't happen until like year four, and he might not even have to be in Houston in year four. So they get like the best, you know, the best years of Stephon Diggs. But Nico Collins was just phenomenal last year, and I think that he's being talked about as one of the better wide receivers in the league after last season. Rightfully so. How has camp looked so far with offense? Does it look like it's rolling right along from what it was last season, or how is that looking?
Oh boy. No. But that's because of right now they're missing one of the best elements in the game. So I did a podcast about a week ago and somebody said, who is the most important Texans player? And naturally you have to pick CJ because if that's your MVP quarterback, that's going to lead you to potentially a Super Bowl and change the alternate course of history, as we know, for Texans football. But that's a cop-out answer, so I don't do cop-outs. I go with Laremy Tunsil. Like, that man, you wonder, like, here's the thing, Taylor. Everyone talks about these diva offensive tackles wanting to get paid after they got paid. Here's the options that you have. what's on the field and what's waiting for a new contract extension. And if you don't pay him what the contract extension is, what you see on the field in practice is what you're going to see on Sundays.
Yeah.
And Tunsil isn't up for a contract negotiation. He's very content with what I've, from everyone I've spoken to about where he is. But the thing with it is just having that type of all-pro caliber left tackle makes your job so much easier for an offensive line. It makes your job so much easier for a quarterback that's still learning how to get used and acclimated to the NFL. And so they've had to play Blake Fisher, who during his time at Notre Dame was primarily a right tackle, not a left tackle, because Joe Alt owned that role for 2 years. Yeah. So it's really hard to make that transition. Everyone's like, oh, well, you know, it'll be fine because if he's played left tackle before. Nope. Just like in college, like cornerback, when everyone's like, oh, cornerback is really hard to check. Yeah, so is the offensive tackle. And especially when you go from the right side to the left side and your opponents every day are Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. It is not going to be an easy walk in the park, Blake Fisher. So there's been a lot of problems when it comes to that ability to build relationships on the play action pass. But again, when you get back Laremy Tunsil, who isn't expected to miss time at the start of the year, he's expected to be back for week one. I think that they'll be fine. What I've liked is that Stephon Diggs has been that mentor type guy. You know, you talk to everybody inside that locker room, whether it be defensive players like Jalen Petrie or Kamari Laster. Derek Stingley's had some conversations. Dalton Schultz has had some conversations with him. Even guys like Azeez Al-Shaair have had conversations with Stephon. They say that there is a giant difference between prima donna and perfectionist. And that is really where that line teeters is.
Yeah.
The prima donna attitude that you get from Stephon is a little bit probably overblown because of he knows that he ran a perfect route and another wide receiver maybe didn't, but a quarterback was so much under pressure that he had to get the ball out, and that was the first target he saw. So that's where you see, I think, the divas part come out, is that he is giving everything he had. And even in practice, he is not afraid to go toe-to-toe and literally run through the end of the route. He is a showman. The last couple of days that we've had fans in Texas, every single time he's got a big catch, he's gone on over, he's dapped up a fan, he's tried to give him the football, he signed something. Like, he's been very embracive of his role for this team, but not just in terms of what is the future with the Texans, but also for what is the future of the Texans. Every day after practice, he's talking with Tank Dell, he's talking with John Metchie, he's going over route concepts. When CJ misses a throw in practice, they will literally go over to the practice field and rerun the play two or three times. That way they make up for it. And so from that standpoint, that's a really good balanced relationship to where he wants to see the Texans get to their highest level. But the other part that's really interesting is that now that he's here, and I'm so glad you brought up Nico Collins, because Nico was awesome. Like, last year he was dope. And I remember watching him when he was at Michigan. I thought he was going to be a stud, but he didn't have great quarterback play. Well, now he does. And CJ's talked about having a five-headed monster with Joe Mixon in the backfield, with Tank, with everyone else. You can't double-team anybody. Like that's the biggest question mark for any opposing defensive coordinator, is how do I make sure that CJ Stroud does not get the ball out of his hands in time without double-teaming somebody? Because if I double-team Diggs, I'm leaving Tank Dell open. Or if I double-team Tank, I'm leaving Nico Collins open. And if I double-team Nico, then I'm leaving Dalton Schultz open. And if I cover all of them, then Joe Mixon's out of the backfield. And last season, he averaged 9.3 yards per catch. So it's like, how do I make sure that I don't get these targets going? So the offensive line is going to be the biggest question mark. You have some marks that when it comes at left guard with Kenyon Green. That is the one starter who I will say I think does play, because if he's missed so much time over the last 2 years with the shoulder injury, with the concussion, with the knee injury, I do think he will see some significant reps. But besides that, I mean, if you get the offensive line on pace, Shaq Mason's one of the most underappreciated guards in the NFL. Laremy Tunsil, we already know what he is. There's a lot to like about this offense when it's at full speed. And they kind of have to have that second element when it comes to the rushing attack. And the only way I think you can do that is by having a great offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we see a lot how the run blocking in Chicago has been what has saved them the last few years. The pass protection has been an issue. So that's what's going to be interesting, because Ryan Poles did say no starters are playing, but there's a full-on battle at center between Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton. Yeah. And then Nate Davis never wants to practice. So I feel like it's going to end up being Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates, honestly, starting at center and right guard. So it's going to be – it's a little odd to me. I'm like, I don't even know who's going to be playing on the line if one of them are not on the line. But I do – I have to let you go. I told you I'd get you out by 3:45 or your time, 2:45. So I do want to talk about the Bears a little bit.
Sure.
Caleb Williams, what is your thoughts on Caleb? How do you feel about him this first season heading into the NFL?
There has never been a quarterback drafted number one overall in a better situation to thrive. That is that. And I thought that before Roma Dunze got there. As soon as I saw Roma Dunze get off the clock, I was like, nope. Yeah, this there is not a better situation for a number one overall pick, because if it's one thing to add in a Keenan Allen or a DJ Moore. But
yeah,
I still feel like that the offensive line, as many questions as there are, there still is a lot of positivity. Like Darnell Wright is an ideal right tackle that you want for your team. And then everyone's like, well, why'd you take him at number 10 last year? It's like, you need to have two stellar tackles. And I thought Braxton Jones, yeah, I loved his tape coming out of Southern Utah. The fact that he has been at least a serviceable left tackle, it doesn't mean you can't upgrade in the offseason or next year if you want, but it's not the worst thing out there. Like, if you said I had to draw out Braxton Jones, I'd be like, okay. I mean, like, it's manageable. I can make this work. I feel confident that it'll be fine. I love that you added in some running backs and some versatility at running backs. Like the way that you utilize DeAndre Swift, as much as he was great last year in terms of yards after contact as a runner, we know that he's a really good pass catcher. So it's just like another element added into that check down option. Cole Kmet flies under the radar as a tight end. I thought that he really came on strong. I like Gerald Everett. I think that for what he is as a receiver inside the red zone, adds some value. I think that also, when again, you throw in Roma Dunze. I'm a Biletnikoff voter. That guy got my vote last year. Like, that's how good I thought he was. And you see the way that he is as a route runner, especially at the intermediate part of the field. So now you're getting DJ Moore. Now you're getting Keenan Allen across the middle. And now you're getting Roma Dunze on the outside. Plus what you have with Cole Kmet. Plus what you have with Roschon Johnson as a third down running back if you really want. Khalil Herbert still is there. Don't know if he's going to make the roster, but we know right now that he is there. There's so much to like about the situation Caleb is walking into. And then from the talent standpoint, I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect prospect. Like, and you know this as well as I do, Taylor. Like, I remember when he got drafted to Jacksonville, I said that the floor for Trevor Lawrence was a Matt Ryan-esque career. Mm-hmm. And nobody's complaining Matt Ryan had a stellar career, but you probably want it better. And you definitely want it better for the quarterback that was compared to John Elway and Peyton Manning. And it's like, okay, well, Matt Ryan, I'll take it. It's kind of the same thing I feel about Caleb Williams. Like, there's so many intangibles to his game, from the play action pass, from his mobility to move outside the pocket, his decision-making, his vision down the field, his touch on the passes, his accuracy when he was in college. There's so much to like about his on-field game that if the right system calls to him, and maybe it isn't Shane Waldron's passing attack, maybe it's someone else, maybe it's a year from now, they go ahead and they make another move at offense coordinator, but the pieces are there, and the dialect and the overall enigma and the way he plays the game is there to where it will not be shocking to see him take over this division and take over the conference. I mean, I look at the AFC, and every single week, a team from the AFC is going to be going up against a juggernaut, whether it be Lamar, whether it be Joe, whether it be Josh, whether it be CJ. Mahomes still exists. We don't give credit at all to Aaron Rodgers, who's 40, but still can throw. Tua's not the worst thing alive. I'm not saying he's great. We're not even talking about Trevor. And Trevor just got paid a crap load of money. And you know what? Trevor's not a bad quarterback. But the NFC, it's Stafford. Yeah. And it's Dak.
Goff.
And now we're talking like, okay, is Jordan Love going to duplicate what he did last year? Is Kirk really going to be the guy longer than two seasons? What about Jalen? I mean, what about Jared? What about Jalen? Yeah. Is Jalen now changing back to what we saw when he won the Super Bowl? So the pecking order, and I'm not even going to get started on Brock Purdy, because Purdy is an anomaly that we don't have time to get into. But like,
San Francisco is in general.
But the pecking order for Caleb to rise up the ranks is so much faster. it's like what CJ did last year was so baffling because of nobody expected it. I think that there is a little bit of expectations for Caleb to get to that level. And even if you don't make it to 10-7 this year, if he throws for 4,000 yards, he's the sixth quarterback in NFL history to do that in a, as a rookie. Like,
well, that's the first pair to ever do it, by the way.
That's, and then you'd be the first pair to ever do it. You finally break the record. So it's like, just be happy with that. Like, and also just understand that he's going into a man-made situation to where a lot of quarterbacks would thrive. But there still is that other element of what could else he do when you give him a few more years to actually hone in on his craft. Yeah. So 4,000 yards in year one might just be the trajectory of what may be an all-pro career.
Yeah, because you mentioned CJ Stroud talking about the five-headed monster, and that's how we kind of talk about it in Chicago, where it's almost like we know he's a rookie and there's going to be moments, and it's almost unfair that CJ Stroud had the season he did last year, because now that's in everyone's head. Like, CJ Stroud did it, so any rookie quarterback can do it. But I think, like you said, I mean, we were talking about a Rome Odunze. By the way, you were speaking to my heart with that, because I was very vocal. I wanted Rome Odunze so bad. I mean, I think I cried a little bit on draft day, because when Atlanta, when it said Michael Penix, I was like, oh my God, we're about to get Rome Odunze. This is insane. And so, yeah, I love the offense. I'm very hesitant. I'm cautiously optimistic is what I say, because my heart's been broken so many times by quarterbacks. But it's hard to not like a lot of the things that are going on, including Shane Waldron. I love the way that Shane Waldron calls plays and game plans, and he uses a lot of the two tight end sets to draw play action and RPOs and all of these other things. So I love the way that all of that, I feel like, meshes perfectly with the talent they got. But Cole, I know you have a show coming up, so I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. Thursday, we're not going to see a whole lot of great football probably, but we will see some legends getting into the Hall of Fame. So that part at least will be fun. And then maybe some of these depth pieces we'll be seeing, but thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Here's the good news. We got football back, and then I get to come back on this show probably before week two.
Yes.
And that'll be Sunday Night Football. And then we actually will have something to talk about where starters did play. So it's like, preview this as like the preview for the preseason, which is exactly what the Hall of Fame game is.
Yeah.
And also a preview for what we get to talk about when week two rolls around.
Because hopefully week two, we are, for both of our sakes, coming off a Titans win. Week one, the Bears play the Titans. So hopefully
you're winning that game. No, I'm sorry. Will Levis is dating the chick from The Bachelor who's evil. Right? I mean, at this point, you got that locked up in the back. That's a win. I'll be disappointed if you lose that game.
Yeah, same. All right, Cole Thompson, thanks so much, and we'll chat soon.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.